Good afternoon. It is sunny outside, 82 degrees, this 13th of May. And you are listening or watching the show Torn in Two, your show for news, information, and more. We're here to break the glass and get rid of the smoke and talk to you about truth. Before I get my host on, co-host on, I know there are some issues that we need to talk about, but let me tell you before I go into issues like abortion and some more on Ukraine. We've talked about Ukraine, but what's happening with this country? Before I talk about abortion, we're going to make sure that we have absolutely all the facts down. I am not going to give you opinions. I'm going to give you facts. And speaking of that, my co-partner in Christ and co-host of the show, Pastor Melvin Burns. How you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm good this afternoon, Brother Roberts. How are you?
Yeah, does that make sense that we bring the truth to them and not bring our opinions?
It makes sense to me, and I hope that's what our audience has come to expect from us.
Okay, because we're not going to sit up here and rattle off a bunch of stuff to you. We want to and make sure that you guys are informed. Just before we get started, just to let you know, if you would like to take part of the show and you have a question for our guest who we're very excited to have on today, you can watch us on Facebook on 103.7 The Beat, WVS, or M106. Also, let you know that these shows, after they're done, they replay over. So if you're driving and then maybe wanting to catch it later, then you can do so. I need you to do, like I always tell you, share this message right now. The person that we have coming in is what we've been trying to tell you to get you guys inspired to just don't wait for things to happen. Make things happen.
Yes.
Am I right,
Hey,
Mel?
if you don't make it happen, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, you know, people are sitting up and you're waiting for politicians and they ain't gonna get nothing done. And we already told you. And let me tell y'all, for if I let the genie out of the bottle, unless something happens with the Democrat Party, the Republicans are going to sweep in November, as it's just gonna happen. So, with that said, Pastor Melvin Burns, you want to introduce our guest?
I'm honored to. Our guest today, I have known over 40 years, believe it or not. Met this gentleman on a college campus at Oakland University. He's an entrepreneur. He's an author. He's a historian. He is a filmmaker. And it's my privilege to introduce to our audience today, Mr. Anthony Brogdon.
Mr. Brogdon, put your hands together for Mr. Anthony Brogdon.
Oh, watch out now.
Watch out now. Come on now, put
Watch
them
out
together
now.
now. For my brother, how you doing,
Yeah.
sir?
Good, good, good. Mel, you forget one of the things. Maybe you didn't want to say it.
Well, no, I'll say it now. I see it.
I host a show on YouTube called
Yes, sir.
Strong Inspirations.
Yes, sir. Okay, I thought you were going to say something else, but
No. You know, I'm all about business.
Yes, sir.
I thought he was going to say, like, maybe he was a U of M fan,
Oh, no.
All right. Let's get into the show. Melvin, you're going to lead the way in today's show, so go ahead with the first questions.
All right, good to have you with us, Anthony. I'm trying to be formal. I usually call you Tony, which is fine, but to our audience that doesn't know you, why don't you start off and give them a little background about yourself?
Okay, well, I appreciate first of all, I appreciate you having me on the show and calling me because I love talking about what I talk about.
Yes,
and
yes.
I and let me just say this, I'm a different kind of guy because I try to keep it positive.
Yes.
There you
I
go.
try to look at the other side of the coin so that we can think, if just for 15 minutes, how great we are.
Come on now.
That's my angle. And I've had problems when I've said that to people. So, and I'll go back into that as we circle back around. But Melvin and I went to college together at Oakland University. I'm a native of Detroit. I've been in business since 1991, doing a bunch of things, but now I have truly found my calling. I talk about Black history almost every day, and I talk about it in several fronts. One is I produced a documentary called Business in the Black, The Rise of Black Business in America. I'm telling people how slaves went to college.
All right.
Because there were HBCUs open before slavery ended.
Right.
In particular, Cheney, 1837.
Okay.
And Lincoln and Wilberforce, right after slavery ended, Howard had a law school.
Okay.
How is that possible? Who going but Black people?
Wait a minute. Now, Anthony, hold on. Now. You said now you're talking about Black history every day. You're not just settling for February.
Not at all. Not at all. Every day.
All right.
Every day. Because the other thing that I do is, as I did just allude to, I have the show on YouTube, is that I've done this documentary, a Business in the Black, talking about how slaves went to college, how slaves owned businesses, how slaves used the money from their business to buy their freedom.
Okay.
I talk about all the ways slaves gained their freedom. Some of them sued for it. People don't know that, but especially up in Manhattan, Massachusetts, people sued for the freedom.
Okay.
They heard some things and said, hold on, I'm a person. Let me go to court and see if I can win, and won.
Okay.
I talk about all the ways that they escaped. And not just going up north, they went south first. They went down there to Florida.
Okay.
There's a place called Fort Mose. That was a settlement that the Spanish put down there. And they said, if y'all slaves get down here, you can stay at the fort and help fight against America, against enslavement. And you got to, you know, convert the Catholics. They said, hey, that ain't no problem. We'll do that. And they ended up in that fort.
Okay.
Then they went out to the west, out towards Kansas. Kansas is a big, they got, to me, one of the largest underground railroad sites in Kansas City, Kansas, called the Quindaro neighborhood.
Okay.
What happened was, back in the day, slaves was slavery in Missouri, and right across this little river, the Missouri River over in Kansas, it was free. So if them Black people could get over there, they had a shot at it.
One of the big misconceptions is that cowboys look like John Wayne.
Big misconception.
Big misconception. Would you tell people, explain?
That story? Yep. I interviewed a person. Cowboys were Black guys. Okay. And what they did was they told him, hey, Black man, hey, boy, go get the cow. That's where that term came from.
Okay.
Wow.
Buffalo soldiers. Those were Black people, but what it was, they was in the armed forces, and they didn't want to consider them a part of the service, so they just said, we call y'all Buffalo soldiers. And they did more than anybody else.
Anthony, what do you say? I'm going to throw you a softball pitch. I ain't not a fast one. I'm going to throw you a softball pitch.
You can throw the fast ones.
you want the fast one.
Man, what do you say? I do it every day.
What do you say to these people that say, can't you guys forget what happened 400 plus years and move on?
I tell them, yeah, we can forget, but let's still talk about it. What does that mean? Forget.
Mm.
What does it mean that y'all don't forget? That you're talking about the critical race theory. All that is we don't want y'all to tell it because it upsets some people.
Okay.
But then what they do is they got plantations. I've interviewed people who work on plantations, white folks, to make money off visitors coming to the plantation.
Yeah.
And they go to them cities down in North Carolina, wherever else, and see the historical sites, and I'm glad they're preserving them. And then they go down there and they charge you an interest fee to come. Somebody making money off of that.
Well.
Yeah.
They rather make money, but don't want you to talk about it. And then when they get you to the plantation, sometimes they don't tell it correctly.
Come on now.
They try to tell it like, hey, well, we really help Black people because, you know, they were savages and all that. Come on, man. that's a lie.
Uh-huh.
We were smarter than them. Let me tell you, I got a lady that tells me we were so smart that, you know how women braid their hair?
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, they would braid their hair in a certain way so the person know how to go free.
Okay.
It was in the hairstyle.
Wow. Okay. All right, Pastor Mel Burns.
Tony, I know one of your passions, you're there in the city of Detroit, and I know you've done some extensive research in the city of Detroit that you've turned into a book and a documentary. Why don't you talk to people from Muskegon, this side of the state, they go to Detroit all of the time. You know, there's some typical things they go, but why don't you whet their appetite a little bit about some of your work and maybe some things they can see if they come to Detroit, as well as they can find out if they take a look at your book.
Oh, sure. I appreciate it. That good plug. I like that. Man, you can plug me. I got more stuff I can slip you and plug. And so what he's talking about, everybody, is back in 2014, after about 3 years of effort, I released this documentary called The Great Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk about everything positive about Detroit. I tell you, I'm a positive thinker. And so we talk about, and the movie starts with how and why Detroit was founded.
Okay.
Because, see, Detroit is a strategic location. You come down that river, and them British was coming through Canada trying to take over the territory and whatnot. They had a fort right there at the river of Detroit. And we fought back right there. You ain't taking this land over.
Mm-hmm.
This is back in the 300 years, so 1700-something. When Cadillac showed up.
Okay.
And so the movie talks about all that. It talks about how we became a manufacturing powerhouse. And much of that was because you got that waterway. They get the steel from out there in Indiana and Pennsylvania. They ship it up here. And then we had some smart people running around here like Henry Ford and others. And they were taking that steel and they were molding it, making cars.
Okay.
So what, all of a sudden, what made you decide to put that together?
Well, I'm going to go back. I'm going to make the story short for you. I wanted to be a big-time filmmaker. It was just a dream of mine because I had a dream of a teenager growing up without his father. And he gets put into a youth home. And while he's at the youth home, they assign him a mentor. So I procrastinated. Finally got the nerve to go ahead and write it. I wrote it as a stage play. I put it up as a stage play, had a little bit of success. I said, I want to make a movie out of that. So then without no experience in the movie making game, I thought an easier way would be to do a documentary. And what's a better topic than the city I love and I live in?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what came out. You know, I knew Eastern Market and all them places. So I just went down there and asked the guy who run it, hey, man, can I interview you for my film? He's like, sure. So Eastern Market is in there, the Riverfront, Motown, Techno, Belle Isle, all the good stuff that's happening in the city. It's all in the movie.
Mike Anthony Smith from Houston, Texas. Where can I get a Boogaloo sandwich in Detroit?
He must know what he's talking about because I eat the Boogaloo. But I got to tell you, after you eat it, you got to go to the bathroom. It's sending you straight to the bathroom. It's good going down, but right after that, you got to go. There's peas and onions and all that other stuff, but there's a spot right next to where they did the Boogaloo over on Wyoming and Curtis. I don't know the name of it, but they now serve this Boogaloo. I tell you, I used to eat them all the time. You know what I'm talking about, but you, like I said, you got to go to the bathroom after you eat the Boogaloo.
Anthony, I want you to, we're going to talk more about what you're doing and about the movie and stuff, but I want to talk about some of these notions that people, when they hear about Detroit, that they haven't even been down or they ain't been down there in a while. Detroit is booming and has changed.
Oh, yeah.
And people, a lot of people are investing money in Detroit.
Yeah.
So can you give us an update what's happening down there?
Oh, man, the update is easy. When you come down, I give you a funny one. They have cleaned, in downtown, they have cleaned up two alleys that people party in the alley.
Okay.
So threw the rats out the way, all the garbage. They put lights all on it and graffiti all on the walls. And there's a bar in the alley.
In the alley.
Art museum, because we go down there.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And so the city is popping. Where Hudson's used to build, they building an 80-floor skyscraper.
Okay.
They building 80 floors. It's going to be the second largest in the city. Okay. I may not be 80. I think it's 70, but it's a little. It's on the same size as the Renaissance Center. Okay. Not size, but it's tall.
Okay.
And that's where Hudson's used to be. And I tell you, to me, what started all this, and I give my man a shout out because he's still a good guy in my regard, is Kwame Kilpatrick. When he was in office, they opened up the Book Cadillac Hotel. The book had been closed for 20 years. They had so much water in the Book Cadillac, they had to drain it for months. And when they redid the Book Cadillac and he was the mayor at the time, he got one of them guys with some money to believe. That's when everything started.
Okay.
And then and so now the city is popping. I mean, in the last 2 years, this year and last year, our riverfront was nominated and has won the award of Riverfront of the Year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing. Riverfront is amazing now.
It's amazing. Oh man, we got beautiful stuff jumping in this town.
Yeah.
Going to the lines, Anthony Miller says, afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Mr. Miller. All right, so let's go back to you decided to put a movie together.
Yeah, so the first movie was The Great Detroit, and then I was a selected Detroiter of the Week when the movie came out and all these other accolades, because I am saying good things about the city. You know, and I mean, we got problems, you know, but you know what's gonna happen is if you got a city in any place in the world and it's like a majority black like Detroit is, you know, they're gonna say something bad.
Okay.
You know, why, hold on, how are you gonna call Africa the dark continent and it's the hottest one? Think about that. All them black people in Africa, you gonna call it the dark continent. That's where civilization started, and it's the dark continent. It's a slam on words.
Well, people don't understand when they hear those dog whistles. Well, nothing ever good happens in Detroit.
Oh, man, you know they're going to say that. To me, Detroit is the best town in America for a black man.
Okay. Well, now, why you say that? Tell us why you say that.
Why I say that is because I know the police chief, a black man. I know the guy who run the county government. Personally, I ain't, you know, first name basis, but if he see me, he nod. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
You know, I know this guy. I know the guy who runs the school board. And before this last mayor, I knew all the mayors.
Okay.
They're black people. They might come to the bar every now and then. You know, I try to send them a drink or something like that. You know what I mean? Hey, man, send that brother a drink. That's the police chief. You know, the fire chief, he black. Man, we ain't having nothing. Man, they had a guy try to beat a white guy, beat a black guy up in one of them police officers. You know, they prosecuted that dude. They sent him to jail.
Okay.
You ain't doing that here. You're getting fired and you're going to jail. They had a situation about 2 years ago, I guess, before the pandemic. They killed a black guy, you know, police did. And the cop, the police chief came out and said, hey, man, watch this tape. My man got a gun. Heck yeah, we shot him. And that squashed it all.
Okay.
They up here marching. Oh, it was wrong. No, man, watch the tape.
Okay.
What you want us to do?
Yeah.
No, this is the best town for a black person. And we down here opening up restaurants and businesses and clothing stores. Yeah. Now, I ain't gonna lie to you. Don't tell nobody I told you. We got some crime. Everybody do. We in Chicago.
Okay.
Right. You know, I ain't trying to throw Chicago under the bus. It's a beautiful city. But you hear them stories. We ain't got that kind of thing. I know where not to go. I'm not hanging out there at 11 o'clock at night. This ain't doing it. So, you know, so far, so good. I haven't had no problem.
So, Tony, tell us a little bit, you know, when you talk about how businesses are thriving, but that didn't just start in Detroit. Detroit has an extensive history of businesses prospering, and you talk about that a little bit.
Well, see, what happened was, you see, you got a city here that them brothers and sisters back in the day was making money working at the plant.
Okay,
you could be down there and you do you some overtime, you got good jobs. So now what happened is, and then they were sharp dudes and sharp women, so they was buying high-end clothes, wearing colored shoes, socks that's colored, the suit was colored, the hat was colored. So now they sharp as all heck. The women looking good. So now they got a little bit of money. They buy a house. The house is nice, you know, 2-3 bedrooms, upstairs, downstairs, basement. And the cars, they worked at the plant, so they got a deal. So they running around here driving Cadillacs and Deucing the Quarters and Lincoln Continentals and things of that sort. Okay. So it nice, and then it was kind of inexpensive, you know, for the most part. You know, it's not no California high and all that. Buy you a decent house. You know, nice neighborhood. You got neighbors that, you know, some of your neighbors like you, and they, you know, y'all looking out for each other, and you saying, man, this ain't a bad spot. But then you know, and then the news media trying to tell you otherwise. Oh, man, I've had people come here, friends come out of town. They say, I ain't leaving. Ain't going back home. That's for me.
See, I get you, because we go down there and we love it down there. We have family down there.
And we
go down there, and that's where we go for vacation.
Yeah.
And one of the things they say, people say, Detroit.
Yeah. That's what they heard in the media. You can come down here and I can take you to a black-owned hotel right on the river. Nice grand hotel. That black guy owned it. And on some Thursdays before the pandemic, he was having free concerts along the riverfront. It'd be about 400 or 500 black people.
I've been down there. Yeah,
they sitting on the riverfront drinking and having a good time and dancing. Can't beat that. And then if that wasn't the deal, you could go probably about 2 blocks down and go to Shane Park, Aretha Park now. And every Wednesday in the summer, you could hear a concert for $20. I'm talking about big name acts.
I'll be there this summer, Tony.
Well, and they still have those acts. Just second, I got to go back to Mr. Miller from Muskegon. He said Motown was the soundtrack to my childhood. God bless Detroit. Thank you, Mr. Miller.
Yeah. Oh man, Detroit was jumping, man. Motown. What Berry Gordy did to put us on the map. Nobody done that. I mean, they got the Philly sound and that, you know, that's good, but that don't rival what he did at Motown and all them acts and most of them was coming out of the city.
Well, when you talk
about singing on the corner,
about Motown music and the way that they established that business, it basically people did nothing but copied or tried to steal their musicians to come over to better their sound.
That's right.
The Funk Brothers. Right? Go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. The Funk Brothers, you name them. You know, shit, man, you can't get no better than Stevie Wonder. You got a guy that can't even see jamming. What are you talking about? He can't see. He playing all the instruments.
Now, I understand, and then the next question goes to you, Melvin. That there's a $60 million development going on, are going to start to build homes, and that's coming from black men to say that they pitched in on the development of making Detroit better. Is that correct?
I'm sure. Man, they got, I know a black developer, he got one right in Midtown. Probably think about a 5-story, maybe 100 units. See, because the people that helped make it happen, the people on the other side, not the developers, some of them are black. So they give you a shot. You know, and so you send them some paperwork and stuff like that, got a good plan, maybe a few dollars that you can throw in the pot, they give you a shot. And so they doing that. It's all over the city. At one point back in, I don't know, maybe the early, the late 1900, you know, 1990s and early 2000s, Detroit had to have at least 7 or 8 black-owned businesses on the BE 100. At least 7 or 8. At one point, we had the top 3. I'm talking about Dave Bing. When Dave Bing had his manufacturing, Dave Bing was blowing them out. And Mailfire, when he doing his cars, he was blowing them out. And then there's another company called, I can't think of a black guy. He does seats for cars.
Vinny's doing pretty good too, isn't he? Who?
Vinny Johnson.
Oh, yeah, Vinny Big.
Yeah.
Vinny Big. It's a few of them kind of cats running around here. Yeah. You can get to them. Maybe they'll do something with you, but they in a black town. They know the story. We all in this thing together. And now let me say this. What's happening is people talk about the gentrification. Yeah, it's some Europeans running in here. Well, no question. They go, and it's surprising. You'll see them in some of them bad neighborhoods. You be think, man, you don't belong over here. You be careful. They're like, yo, watch out. I got my own security guards.
But it's pretty amazing because when you go down there, people don't understand. You got Google down there.
That's right.
Lunchtime, people are walking their food trucks. There's concerts. There's everything at nighttime. People are walking, going from restaurant to beer, to casino, to bar. It's just happening down in Detroit.
It's happening, man. The summer is popping in this town. Yeah. We got hydroplane boat race. We got a Grand Prix race. You can go over there to that Belle Isle and have a picnic on an island. They and the state took it over and they did a little bit to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it looked a little bit better on the island.
Yeah, I know Belle Isle was always one of your favorite places. I think you used to go out there and do a little reading, a little meditation, didn't you, Tony?
Yeah, oh, for sure. I still do.
I do.
And then I'm bike riding a lot, you know.
Okay.
Keep my heart pumping and stuff like that. I go out there and ride. We got bike rides. People, it'd be 5,000 people riding at the same time.
I've seen that. But people just take over and just ride neighborhoods.
They got police escorts and everything.
Yeah. And I think, you know, sometimes people, when they hear you talking, you say, well, black this and black that. But, you know, when you think of just Michigan and how many cities have black leadership or, you know, black, you know, there's whole counties, whole section of the state where you can't find a black doctor or a black business owner. So we aren't saying it a matter of black, you know, and everything else. Anti-racist. Sometimes you want to see things of your same ethnicity or when you go in a city. There's not a strike against you because you're black, but you know you're on a level playing field because you're a black developer that you know you're not gonna get an automatically negative response because you're black.
Oh right, question. Yeah, yeah. No, the city is, you know, like I said, it's a good town, man. You know, it's jumping. So it get a little cold. You know, it get cold everywhere in Michigan. Get a little cold. Winters ain't been like they were, and then when it get cold, we got a festival outside in the cold.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, you get up under the tent. The tent is warm. You go down there, and it's free.
With ice skating rink.
Yeah, so Tony, ice skating rink and all that.
Yeah. So you take this message. I know you've done some extensive traveling throughout the country, and so you and can internationally even. So you take this message all over the country. How is it received?
Well, some with some surprise, but you know the word has gotten out. You know they know it's jumping.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it's received. Yeah, and what was happening even before it, you know, they had the real turnaround. You better not say nothing about my town. I'm gonna stand up for you. You know what I mean? I'm up here. I was in Harlem one time. Guy talking about he scared of me. You in Harlem? I got a small blade. What are you talking about?
That's not a knife.
Right. You're right. You got a butcher. Axe or something. You talking about you because you what you heard.
Yeah.
Anthony, let me go back to the board here. Back to Houston, Texas. Mike Anthony Smith, he said Willie Horton owned several businesses in the 60s.
Yeah.
And also going back to Mr. Miller, he said Detroit needs a new PR team for Good News Detroit.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's always room for improvement. You know, Willie Horton did have a bar. It was like you say in the 60s, some years ago when he was jamming. He's an older guy now. I don't think he got it anymore. But you know, and then the PR, the word is out. Like I say, we went in awards. They people coming to the conventions and stuff like that. They come here, man. We've had conventions like NAACP. When they came here, it was the largest one they ever had.
Okay.
People said we gotta go see this town, and then it was cheap too. You know, the hotel's not all that expensive.
I mean, but you guys got ConCon and all kinds of festivals going on down there in Detroit.
That's right.
But what I want to talk to you and Pastor Melvin Burge, you got the next question, is everybody that has been coming on the show has mentioned the same word, mentorship. How important is that word?
That's the question to me, right?
Yes.
Man,
yes,
sir. My next movie is about that.
Okay.
That's how important it is. I'm making a movie about a teenager growing up without his father, and a mentor steps in. It turned both of their lives around. It's called Foot Soldiers. If all goes, it'll be out in August or September. Look for it, everybody.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very important. I interview mentors across America. I interviewed a guy out of Atlanta. He said, I go into the worst of jails. And he told the story of how he went in there one on this one brother. He said the brother was super hard. He said he was scared when he looked at him. He said, but then what happened? He told this story. And the brother ran out of the room, and the brother started crying. He's about 16 years old, in there for attempted murder and all that kind of stuff. He said, the brother ran out. He said, man, I ran out for him, you know, to see what's happening. He said, and all I did was give that brother a hug.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, did he take the hug? He said, man, he took the hug and cried harder. I said, well, he said, what happened was the story that he was told is what happened in his life.
Mm.
He brought me to tears. He said, man, this is what I do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow I get enough money and I go back in them jails and I pick out them young brothers. I get the hardest one and say, man, I'm gonna love you. Mm-hmm. No matter if you what you do.
Yeah.
And that's mentorship.
Can you repeat that, what you just said again? Because somebody need to hear that. Sure enough, need to hear that.
The part about the love? The love?
The whole thing. Because
the whole thing, yeah. I tell you what to do. If you don't mind, I plug myself like I do. Go to businessintheblacknot.net.
Okay.
And go under Foot Soldiers. You'll see all the interviews I do with mentors.
Okay.
Pastor
this
Burns.
Guy right here out of Atlanta, he said there's a bunch of us like that all over America, I'm sure. I even told him, I said, man, but I ain't grow up like that. I'm scared of them dudes.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, you know, ain't gonna happen. Just don't give me your telephone number. That ain't what he said. He said, no, he really said, give him your number. Because see what happens is, check it out. At it might be at 9 o'clock at night when they decide to make a turn.
Mm-hmm.
So here it is, 9 o'clock at night. He says, man, I don't want gang bang tonight.
Yeah.
So then he needs somebody to talk to.
Right.
Tell him, don't do it. Mm-hmm. Now that, you know, the teachers are gone, the Boys and Girls Club is closed. Even the probation officer ain't taking no calls.
Mm-hmm.
So if he got your number, he might call you at 9 and say, hey, man, I got to go hide because I don't want a gangbang tonight.
So you got to be accessible, huh?
You got to be accessible.
Yeah, yeah.
And I believe mentorship is the answer. If we could come up with some more men.
Okay.
In, let me tell you how to check it out. I ain't going to talk too long.
Oh, but take your time.
I've been noticing. I was at a park the other day, and I noticed it was three ladies with about eight kids.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one little boy, and the rest of the kids was girls.
Okay.
So now they got these girls sitting there, and they doing some little crafts or something, you know, paintings or whatever, and they talking to these girls. So you wonder why these girls decide to step up and go to college and fulfill their dream. Because at the 7, 8, 9 year old, the mama told him, don't go outside. I need you to sit here and watch me cook. I need to put discipline in you. So now she's got discipline and know how to sit there and cook,
okay.
How to read the recipe. That ain't easy to sit there and read a recipe to tell you I need just a cup of this, a dash of that, a dash of that. You got to read what the dashes are. So now they got that in their mind to say, well, shit, I can do a chemistry exam because I know how to dash something.
Mm.
You follow me?
Uh-huh.
So because the mother did that with the girl, she got it. She know how to be disciplined enough not to go outside.
Okay.
When she got homework.
Okay.
Pastor Mel Burns, go ahead.
Don't do that with him.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part. I ain't gonna say
no. No, I know what you're saying. No, I follow.
Yeah, we got
you. So now you wondering why he can't sit still.
You turn him loose and let him just go outside. Go outside with a ball.
Yeah, you go outside. Go play basketball. And ain't but 300 of them making in the NBA a year.
Yeah.
So he can
I want to shift a little bit, you know, and draw on some of your expertise. Now we have a wide range of audience. I have a lot of young people that are, you know, careers, people dreaming about doing something different. You took this entrepreneur journey years ago. And I know the money you started rolling in the day you made that decision, right?
Exactly.
But for people who are thinking about it, you know, they maybe sit at their office desk, trying to look at the clock, waiting to 5 o'clock, but they're thinking there's a book in them, they're thinking there's a movie in them. Give them some advice and give them some encouragement.
All right, I got one for you. This is a story that happened to me. I was in college, and I had a job at General Motors.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
And it was a summer job, right?
Uh-huh.
So I go in there, and I'm one of the interns, and they had I was the only black guy. They had a couple of white kids interns. We all sitting in the main room, you know, where the interns sit, and there was a few other desks with some other people. They probably had just gotten the job, and there was a black guy there. And this black guy, he was kind of older dude. He really looked out of place.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I probably with some tact, I got to know the guy pretty good. I said, man, I got to ask you, why you ain't got a room with a window like the rest of them white guys? And then my man told me, he said, let me tell you something. He said, they called him into the office one day and they said, man, I ain't giving you no room with the window. I give you money raises,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not giving you a room with the window.
Mm-hmm.
So my man accepted that. So now he making $85,000 or whatever, decent amount of money. He comes there. He can only come in as early as 7:30. He get there at 7. He read the paper, drink his coffee. He do the little bit of work they ask him to do. He take one piece of paper, look at it, do something with it, shift it on. Do a good job. He said, I'm tight with my job. They can't mess with me with my job.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got to thinking, man, I got one life.
Okay.
I don't want to go the same way every day.
Okay.
I don't want to sit here for 30 years and do nothing else with my brain for the hours that I sit here.
Okay.
And my man said, hey, you know, I got enough money, man. I got a boat. I got a nice car, whatever, whatever. So when, you know, work is over, I can go out and do my thing. But to me, I thought, man, you got 8 hours. You sitting here not using your full capacity.
Okay.
So if somebody is sitting at a job and they think they ain't using their full capacity, or in my word, I ain't calling nobody boss.
Okay.
I can't do it. I'm the boss.
All right.
I ain't calling you boss nothing. And I hope nobody hear this. I'm a racist. I ain't working for the white man. I can't do it.
Okay.
I told some students at Howard University, I spoke at a class one time. I said, I can't do it, man. I go broke. So now what I got to do is I got to figure out a way to where I can make some money to live.
Okay.
And that's what the game is.
Now, Tony, I got to throw a fastball at you.
Man,
you said that you will not work for a white person. Why is it for us to understand that we need to be our own boss on our own? And it's no disrespect, but we can do better than just working for somebody.
I'm trying to give me the question again.
The question is, you said you can't work for somebody. You're going to be your own boss.
Right.
And you talked about a man who settled.
Right.
I want to know, and why don't we tell people, why is it important that we go out and own our own businesses and we don't settle, that we use our creative minds, and that we're telling the thing that you're saying that you're racist, well, what you're trying to tell people is like, look, we can do stuff, but we don't do stuff. I know I threw a lot at you, but a lot of people settle. And my question is, why do they settle? And why don't we have more people that be entrepreneurs like yourself?
The easiest question is, man, this ain't easy.
Okay.
You got to be tough.
Okay.
You got to be, let me tell you, the only thing that helps me survive in this is I don't care what nobody think of me.
Okay.
All right, so you got a bigger car. Congratulations. You got a bigger house because you got a job and you get paid every 2 weeks. Congratulations. So if a person can get past what other people think about them,
okay,
and not deal with that scenario, good. Plus, it ain't easy. I work. I wake up in the morning and the first thing I'm doing is on my cell phone, tweeting and texting and every and trying to find people to interview and trying to find people to buy my book and everything. Mm. And I do it 7 days a week.
Is it draining or is it energizing?
Oh man, I ain't breaking no bricks. My back don't hurt. What is how much is it to tweet and text? You follow me? People do that when they looking at Instagram and things and naked girls. I just ain't looking at naked girls.
When you say you spend the same hours, you I just doing different the same stuff. Hours.
Yeah, we got to keep the show on the G level now.
I know. But you know what I mean? Everybody said, I don't have no favorite TV show. If I'm sitting there, I could be sitting there watching the basketball game, and it won't take but 20 minutes for my mind to divert. Oh, I got an idea.
Okay.
And I ain't making no money watching them play basketball.
Okay.
So the idea pop up, then I go off and I get back on the computer and I do a little something. I went for a walk today. I was tweeting while I walked.
Okay.
2:45.
What's the difference?
Right, 2:45, and you're listening and watching Turner 2. We're getting some knowledge today from Anthony. Pastor Melvin Burns, you got the next question.
Yeah, and again, I'm going to confess to the audience, not only have I known you 40 years, but we also are members of the oldest, coldest, and greatest fraternity ever be founded, Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. And I know one of the things in your heart is young Black men. Again, knowing you for a long time, probably we seem to have a crisis with young Black men in this country, and whether between education and prison. Why don't you just kind of speak to that and that passion in your heart for young Black men?
Well, the passion is, check it out. I got a daughter. I need somebody to marry this girl.
What are
you talking about? Hey, man, friends.
That's a plate.
Yeah. I'm looking for a husband for this girl.
Uh-huh.
She's a Harvard graduate. She come out of there with a 3.6, 3.7. She had all A's on her report card, her senior year in high school. I ain't never seen all A's. And so I don't want her to deal with somebody who ain't, you know, of a level.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to just try to get her money or something. You follow me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if I can cultivate me a young man, I can show them introducing to her. That's the thing. Man, when you go to them dinners, man, it'd be 7-8 women sitting there by themselves.
Yeah.
You know, because the dinner, $30, $40 a pop, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you sitting there, eat hors d'oeuvres, whatever, you know, good, nice restaurant. So the thing is, I got to find somebody for them sisters.
Well, beyond your daughter, but
beyond the daughter, that's the moral of it.
I mean, that's
the moral of it.
That is, if we don't do that, if we don't contribute, if we don't contribute, that's an expectation.
Right, and we don't do that, then let me tell you a short story. Sometimes I catch the bus to be a part of the community and ride, and, you know, see the city from a different angle. So I'm at the bus stop one day, many years ago, and a young brother walked up to me, and I said, "Dang, man, there go the bus is coming." Hey, good-looking kid. I said, "Well, man, I introduced him to my sister, my daughter, right?" So my man walked up to me, and he says, "Hey, man, check this out." And he shows me the butt of a gun.
Uh-huh.
He said, "Give me your money. I got $30 on me. I'm mad." Mm-hmm. And I gave it to him. So if we don't do this, a good looking kid like this guy is going to result to something so that he can keep buying them gym shoes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And looking that look.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And getting his hair cut.
Okay.
Wow.
Because once he got my $30, he can go get his hair cut.
Okay.
And like I said, I couldn't tell he was thuggish like guy.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, when he took the money, I was hollering at him, man, you need to stop this, man. This ain't gonna, it ain't me, but this ain't gonna end well for you.
Right.
And so now you ain't gonna have a chance to have a family.
Yeah.
And we need more of that, man. That's the moral of it, man. We need more of that. I would hate to have to be on a boat, and I've been at some parties, and we all been at parties, where it be so many women outnumbering us that I can't even have a good time.
I do know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
But yeah, that's the numbers in Detroit. The numbers are women versus men are crazy.
Yeah, it's all over. You be sitting there, I'll be like, man, I feel sorry for them. Yeah. I can only dance so many times. I'm out dancing. I'm on the dance floor from the first. They're waiting for another dance. Man, I can't dance no more.
You got to call us a recruit.
I'm tired. My feet hurt. I don't want to dance no more.
We
ain't nobody else to dance with.
Anthony,
get me off this boat.
Oh my gosh. You're bringing that Detroit. You love Detroit. You, it shows, it tells. Let's talk about because we're getting ready to wind down. It's 2:50. About the movie that you did, to talk about Detroit, the one that's coming out. And let's talk about what are your solutions or some of the things that we should be doing in cities to better Black men and women.
Well, I'm gonna handle that one first. The things we should do is, if you got some sense, you a Black guy, find you some other young Black men and talk to them.
Okay.
That's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you ain't got to join 100 Black men. I'm not saying that's good, you know. 100 Black men, boys and girls club, or whatever it is. But if you see a young brother and it's a group of them, and you got enough gumption, just sit there and say, hey, man, let me just share something with you for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them out of that bunch is going to listen to you because he's crying out for help because he ain't got nobody to listen to or nobody to listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
I remember hearing a story. A guy said, a guy was in jail. He said, well, what you in jail? You know, he said, he said something about, man, I wish my father would have whipped me, but he didn't love me enough to whip me.
Wow, that's deep.
Yeah.
And here I am. When I used to whip my son, I ain't take no belt. I threw punches on this cat because he was big dude. You know, I ain't got time to go find no belt and no switch. Just come here and take these in the chest. And I land him on him. And then after I land him on him, I say, hey, man, you all right? He said, yeah. I said, you know you deserved it. He said, yeah, I guess I did. I said, and then I leave. I said, and if you was the father, what would you do? Would you let your son get away with that? He said, Dad, I guess you got a point. And he understood.
Okay.
So that's the first thing. You know, we do a little bit more of that, you know. And then the other thing, I'm going to stay on that same note. Check it out. I was somewhere where I was talking to some guys, and they all had suits on. They professional dudes, and then so on and so forth. And the guy, he was telling me he owned the bar that I was at. You know, I mean, this is Montgomery, Alabama. So the guy trying to convince me he ain't hitting on nothing. You know how we do? Hey, man, how you doing, man? I'm just making it. And you driving this big 750 BMW and Mercedes and all that. And you really a lawyer. You legitimate cat.
Uh-huh.
You trying to downplay your success to somebody. Oh, man, this is tough. This ain't y'all. So, okay, I listen to that because I'm impressionable, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the drug man telling me, man, you know, hey, man, this is the way to go. So stop diluting your success.
All right, that's good.
To somebody.
That's good. Better write that one down. Stop diluting.
Stop diluting it. Let them know. Don't brag on yourself, but say, hey, man, I worked hard to get here, man.
Yeah.
And you can do it too. And I'm having fun.
Yeah. I ain't looking over my shoulder.
Yeah, I ain't looking over my shoulder, man. Yeah. I'm happy. And then, so let me go back on the other thing that you said because of the sake of time. I do have one of the things. This is my book right here. It's called Black Business Book. It's over 200 facts on the rise of Black business in America. I'm telling you, slaves went to college and slaves owned businesses. Slaves used the money to buy their freedom. It's available on my website. It's called businessinthe black.net. Because when you're in business, that's where you want to be, is in the black. In the red ain't good. You're losing money. So you be in the black. And that's this book. I did that documentary. I don't have the DVD, but it's streaming on Amazon. It's called Business in the Black. The my show on YouTube is called the Strong Inspiration Show. I interview people around the world via Zoom. I just released one from a guy out of Johannesburg, South Africa. The story is the same. My man said I was in the worst neighborhood. Like I told you earlier, he said, they used to fight naked just to see how strong they was.
Wow.
He said, and I grew up like that. I decided not to be that way. And later in life, I went to college. Now he got a TV show. He was one of the biggest celebrities there.
Okay.
And so everything you can see I do, my movie that I'm, you know, still raising a little bit of money, but we've been shooting, called Foot Soldiers. I hope to be out August, September. It'll be on one of them streaming services. It's going to make you cry because the young man is going to go through some stuff. Mm. And then this guy going to come in his life and he going to go through some stuff. Okay. Then they're going to go through some stuff together.
Mm-hmm. Anthony, you know, what people understand, you're an independent filmmaker.
Independent.
So you raise the money for your film. So if people wanted to contribute based on things they've heard today or reading and about you later on, how could they contribute to your
film? Website, go to business in the right there. You can click on that button.
Okay.
I take all them ways of getting that money. You can cash out me. You get smoke signals. I don't care how you do it. It's right there. You can donate a dollar. That ain't gonna help a whole lot, but nonetheless, yeah, it's on the website. Go to businessinthablack.net. Check me out. Okay. Yeah. I'm with people like Melvin. That's shoot, man. Melvin, that y'all just don't know Mel, heavyweight. That heavyweight guy in that town.
Anthony, tell me. I want you, because we're running, it's 4 minutes left. Talk to the people that have these negative opinions about Detroit. And just tell them once again what's happening in Detroit.
Nah, I tell them, come on down. What you guys, if you don't come here, where you going? Where you going to go? Because let me tell you something. I put it this way. Check it out. I've had people tell me they like Chicago. Ooh, Chicago's so nice and so beautiful and everything. Man, I go to Chicago. Ain't nothing black for Chicago, but on the South Side, you go down to the Jazz Fest, to the Taste Fest. I went to the Taste Fest one year. They had one black act. You come here, all of them black. So come here. This where your people at.
Okay.
Come down here to the hotel. It might be $150 a night. That's reasonable. And it's jumping. So come in. And then we got restaurants. All you do is Google them. They got black-owned restaurants and stuff like that. Support the black people. Come down, walk the, bring your bike, walk the bike rides and all that. And you'll have a good time. The Motown Museum is under renovation. They about to build a 40.
Really?
Yeah, man. They building a new building behind the Motown. It's going to be state of the art.
So Motown is finally going to do a museum.
Well, it was always a museum. Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but they're going to do more.
Okay.
Yeah, it's I don't know. Maybe I would think, what, next year, whatever, you know, new thing they're doing, it'll be open.
Okay.
Yeah, go. We got before the museum in DC, the Charles Wright was the largest in America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you haven't been to that, that's a treat. It's an experience.
Man, go see them black people up in there, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, join that situation.
Yes.
What can I say? How about this? You got a welcome invitation to come on anytime. Pastor Melvin Burns will hit you up.
Yeah.
Keep us updated about you, your life, and your movies.
I appreciate it because this has been good. Y'all good hosts.
Yeah, we'll have to get that movie screened over here in Muskegon once.
I want to do it.
We'll do that.
Melvin, I sent you an email about a brother out of Muskegon.
I didn't know him, Anthony. Well, we'll talk. I didn't know him.
Yeah, get him on your show. He came on my show, man. That guy, he got a story.
Okay.
He up in there making a difference.
Okay. So, Anthony, if we do a screening, would you be willing to come up to Muskegon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you pay my gas way and something like that?
You know I got you.
Hey, you know how much money Melvin got, so you know you're covered. Right.
Yeah.
Hey. All right. Yeah,
listen, thanks for having me on the show, y'all. It's a good show too.
Any phone numbers? How to connect you?
Go to businessintheblack.net.
All right. Thank you, sir. You have a good day.
Hey, likewise. Stay strong. Right, brother.
Take care now. Please.
You got it.
Wow, sharp brother. Melvin, I'm going to give you the closing words because normally I have them.
Hey, I hope you all enjoyed the show. I like so much, if you're there sitting on a dream you've been thinking about, maybe I should one day. You heard from somebody who said it's not hard, but man, the idea of using your mind, your ability to stay full capacity, don't sit on your dreams. You only get this one life to live. Make the best of it and get the best out of it. I think that's our lesson from today.
Go out and sow that seed in somebody's weekend. Go sow a seed in somebody's life today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Give them their flowers today. This has been 22 with Pastor Melvin C. Burns and, of course, me, Gregory T. Roberts. Have a great weekend. Take care and God bless.
All right. Have a-